everybody, and welcome back to the Psycho Sid podcast. I mean, the Super Squared Circle podcast here at the Super Network at supermarcy.com. I'm your host, good old Super Marcy, and today we're here to talk about NXT TakeOver, Royal Rumble, and the lead up to WrestleMania. And it's not just me on the show, because that would probably be a little bit boring, even though I am highly entertaining. But I have two awesome guests, and they both hail from the country of Canada, specifically the Montreal area, so that's interesting. So please welcome first the living legend, Denny Lewis. Hello, Denny.
Hello, Marcy. What's going on with you?
Enjoying the really weird Australian summer right now.
That's pretty weird because we're enjoying a pretty weird Montreal winter right now as well.
Awesome. It goes between hot and cold almost daily, so I don't know what season I'm in right now.
Neither do I, and neither does my allergies, because my eyes are dry and itchy, and I'm taking Reactin like it's going out of style.
Oh, fun times in Montreal.
Yes, all I wish is just pick a weather and stick to it for
pick
at least
a season.
3 months.
Just run with it. Yeah, it's just, yeah, we are just, everything's just messed up weather-wise. Whoever's playing with that weather machine needs a hiding.
It's most likely the U.S. government.
Probably.
But I'll save that for another show.
We'll save that for the After Midnight podcast, cheap plug.
And I didn't even have to do it.
Exactly. That's the joy of being on my show. I'll cheap plug for you. And we are also joined by the one and only, the marvelous Mark Chevalier. And I hope I said that right, because I try to practice it.
You said it a lot better than many other people have, so Woo-hoo! It's all good. Thanks for having me on.
No problemo. Glad we have finally organized this podcast with the two of you joining me. My other regular co-hosts are MIA, but that's fine because we can always change things up every now and then, which is fine. So Mark, how are you dealing with the weird Montreal weather?
Well, I just came out from the outside, so I'm warming up right now, having a nice cool beer. So that's how I'm getting through winter.
Just drink the winter away.
Yeah, that's the tradition over here.
That's pretty much what we do in Australia. We drink the summer away.
Didn't you enjoy this summer?
If it felt like summer, yeah. We're having like 2 hot days in a row, and then it's going back to raining and cold. So there we have it. Yes.
Awesome.
All right. So are we ready to get straight into NXT TakeOver San Antonio?
I was born ready. Let's do this.
Let's do this. All right. So we'll run over the card, starting from the beginning, where we had Eric Young versus Ty Dillinger. What do we think of, I guess, this kind of storyline and the match itself? Who wants to go first?
Mark,
well,
go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the storyline was, but Ty Dillinger, he's like, for some reason, the most over jobber in NXT right now. I don't think I've ever seen this guy win a match, but I don't watch NXT every week. I don't know what happened, why this 10 is so over the crowd. Like,
Because it's awesome, Mark. 10!
I don't get it. I was at Survivor Series and NXT Toronto, and that's all you heard every time anybody counted anything was 10, 10, 10. And I got so sick of hearing it. So.
Yeah, but when I had, I went to NXT Live in December, and we had the same thing, and he was on the card as well, but it was so much fun. Everyone just yelling, 10, 10, 10. And then when he finally came out, the place goes nuts. It was awesome. I loved it.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts.
Oh, I will enjoy it. He will be on the main roster very soon.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I know about that.
Why, do you know somebody on the inside? Do you know?
I know. I kind of know that we're going to have call-ups after WrestleMania. And considering something we'll talk about after this, he made an appearance. So I think it's very likely.
But where is he going to go? Yeah, he could go to SmackDown, but he's basically just going to do the exact same thing he's doing in NXT, which is basically putting a lot of guys over.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He'll be losing matches to whatever his fucking name was, that James Chin was to, James Ellsworth.
Mr. Ellsworth.
He's doing good right now. He's got a girlfriend and everything.
Yeah, he's going out with our girl. What's up with that?
Our girl. Yeah. He's going to be fabulous.
He's not as fabulous as us.
Big Cass might have something to say about that, so we'll see.
Yes. Back to the match. I haven't seen a lot of NXT leading into it. But for me, I don't know, the feud's continuing, spoilers, NXT have taped the next month and there's still stuff going on. So it kind of feels like, I don't know, almost a Wyatt family thing, but different. But that's the focus right now. I thought their match itself was pretty good. I wasn't a fan of him losing yet again, but I'm guessing it's telling a story.
I guess because maybe they're bringing these guys in and, you know, I guess that serves Dillinger's purpose is to put over the new guys as they come in.
Mm.
So, you know, he did the, you know, he's lost to Rude. Now he's losing to Eric Young. Basically, you know, Ty Dillinger can have a decent, you know, good match so far that we've seen. So it seems like he's got that, like, he has that responsibility of giving, like, that new guy coming in a good match to start off.
Mm.
Yeah, he's like one of those old school, like, mechanics, you know? A guy who can work and make someone look good.
He's kind of like the Dolph Ziggler of NXT right now.
Oh, wow, that poor... Poor Ty Dillinger. That's not
well. That's kind of like what it feels like with how it's kind of going down. But yeah, it was a good opener. I thought it sort of started the show off pretty well.
It was a decent match. I mean, you didn't even really need to see like past weeks of NXT to kind of get a feel for it because you pretty much. Got an idea that I guess Sanity is trying to bring in Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
So they kept working the angle with the vest and, you know, offering it up to him a couple of times for, you know, the people in the cheap seats so they'll understand it in case they didn't see it.
Mm.
And it was a decent match. You know, I'm not... I was never really a big fan of Eric Young either. I'm not too keen on him being in NXT. I don't think he'll probably even be brought up to the main roster. He'll probably be, you know, cut after a while. But the match was, you know, decent enough. And the whole Sanity gimmick, it just, you mentioned it kind of reeked of the, you know, of the Wyatt family. To me, it just reminded me of the, of that old, James Storm faction from TNA, the one he had with Manic and Abyss.
That was when I was not watching.
Nobody was watching. That's why that's why TNA is in the state they're in right now.
Yeah, that's why everyone's defecting.
But it was a decent little start. I don't even remember much of this match. This match didn't really, you know, even though it was good, it didn't really have anything that stood out. So it was basically like, I don't know, probably a 2.5-3 star match.
Yeah, it was just a good way to kind of open the show.
But the fans in San Antonio were pretty much ready for anything, so they could have had anything open the show back then.
That's true. We'll move on to the next match, which was Roderick Strong versus... how do you say his name? Andrade Cien Almas.
Andrade Cien Almas.
Yes. I have not. I've not liked the gimmick of Almas since he's come in. He's a good wrestler, but I just don't think the gimmick's that great. But I think this is probably the best match I've seen him have out of since he's started. But I think the real star was Roderick Strong.
Roderick Strong's another guy I was never too keen on. It's just something about his look that's so vanilla. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's a little bit smaller and it looks like he's got a little bit of those, you know, short arms. The match was actually pretty good. I'm enjoying Almas kind of ease into his heel persona.
Yeah, I think that's the right direction for him right now.
I just kind of wish he would like ditch the hat and the tearaway pants.
Mm.
Maybe go a little bit darker, but his style, even as a babyface, always seemed to work better as, you know, an arrogant heel.
Exactly.
Especially when he does the spot where he's resting in between the ropes.
Yeah, that's why it wasn't really working. And I don't think it was connecting. It's because he needed to be the bad guy.
Another thing that's going to kind of hold him back is, you know, the fact that, you know, Andrade does not speak English. So it's going to be tough for him to continue on with a heel persona if, you know, he won't be able to speak.
Give him a mouthpiece.
And I remember, that is true. Well, hopefully, you know, Triple H will start bringing a little bit more in because, you know, you basically just have the one right now who will be coming up in a little bit. But if you're going to give him a mouthpiece, who would you give him?
I don't know. Mark, you haven't chimed in for a while. Give us some thoughts,
well,
man.
This match, I'll be honest, I fell asleep while I was watching. So I guess that tells you my interest.
Yeah, it was so high that you fell asleep and dreamt about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who could talk for Andrade Cien Almas? I don't know. Zeb Coulter?
Well, unfortunately, Zed Coulter's got another job now, so he won't be coming back anytime soon.
I don't know. I haven't even thought about him having a manager or something.
I don't know. I think we need to have more managers again, because I just find it's always fun. There's always that added element. So I don't know. He would be perfect to have someone with him.
Well, like, Would you keep it like in the Latino faction, or would you give him, instead of a manager, maybe just say a valet?
I would say manager, because they need to speak for him and stuff.
Well, it depends on what kind of a valet you could get. Maybe you could,
give him Rosa Mendez. If she's still around.
No, I think she's still out. I don't know. Well, she gave birth to her kid already. I remember seeing that on, like, Total Divas.
Yeah, she's had her baby, but she can, like, film, like, once every month to be his mouthpiece.
Do you remember when she was, I think they did an episode of Total Divas where they tried to give her a position as, like, an interviewer backstage, and she couldn't even do that?
She struggled.
for someone who's been in the business for 10 years to still be struggling with basic things.
Mm.
It's not a good sign.
Not a good sign. We'll go to our next match, which was the NXT Tag Team Championship match, DIY versus Authors of Pain. And this was heartbreaking because I am like the biggest mark for DIY. I love those guys so much. Absolutely. I thought the match they had against The Revival, where they captured the titles, was maybe the match of last year, or at least one of those really top matches. I'm not entirely sold on Authors of Pain. They're still very green, but this was, I reckon, their best match so far, but it's because they're against very skilled guys like Gargano and Ciampa. So, Yeah, I don't know where we're going with them as champions, but I can see that the Revival are going to come back into the picture.
Is it possible they will? Because I've heard they may be coming up after WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I hear, along with a lot of other names that some I just don't think are ready yet. But if you look at NXT taping results, they are definitely there.
Okay. I enjoyed this match a lot. It was the best match of the night. You know, just like you, I'm not really sold on the Authors of Pain. You know, well, what are they called? Akam and Razor.
It sounds like the bad guys from Ninja Turtles, The Secret of the Ooze, Toka and Razor.
Yeah, but it's not the Razor we all want to see. It's some other Razor.
I just think of Ninja Turtles, and Paul Ellering should be Shredder.
Well,
that's just what it reminds me of.
But you know what? At least they had a good match. They had a lot of good spots in here. Obviously, I could probably see them eventually dropping the belts back to Gargano and Ciampa, because basically, if you put them with anyone else right now outside of them and maybe the Revival, I think they might get exposed. I'm pretty sure they don't want that to happen right now.
No, so that's why they need them, people that are very seasoned in the ring to help them look good, and that's what happened. So,
well, that's what they've been getting, like, practically their whole entire run, because, you know, they came in right off the bat working with American Alpha, and, you know, they won that Dusty Invitational against, you know, your friends, TM69, and then, and now they're, you know, taking the titles off of DIY, so I could probably see them maybe getting a match with the Revival, at least quickly with the Revival, to have like a good, you know, showing there. Because I think, they're not going to have any other shows until Mania.
Well, they could do a triple threat tag team match with DIY, the Revival, and Authors of Pain.
Oh, that would be pretty good, but the thing about those three-way matches is that, you know, it's always going to be two guys focused at a time. And I could see most likely the majority of the match being done with, like, DIY and the Revival, and maybe, you know, Authors of Pain just coming in with, like, a big power spot. And I guess maybe once you do that, hopefully in the coming months they'll have progressed, and maybe by that point they'll win that match, and you know, both teams, DIY and Revival, can move up to the main roster with, you know, each team going to a different brand.
Well, they're definitely ready. Mark, chime in, please. You're so quiet. Yeah. Get in your words, man. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking the Authors of Pain are going to keep those titles for a while, because the big monster team, that once they lose, it's kind of, you know, it kills their momentum. So I figured they would win this one. And they'll probably beat the Revival if they end up facing them. So I think that whoever beat them will be like a new hot and upcoming tag team.
Do you think do you think they would drop the belts to TM69 when they come back?
I'm all for those guys ruling, by the way.
Like in the summer at some point. Like maybe around like the SummerSlam NXT or whatever.
Yeah, because
when it gets hot, you know.
Well, isn't one of them out with an injury right now?
Yeah, Shane Thorne has, I think, a knee injury.
Okay, and how long is he supposed to be out?
No idea.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, let's say it's them, and maybe another team will come in. I mean, I'm not too sure who else there is in NXT, to be honest, other than those, like, DIY, Revival, and TM61 they could face.
Well, right now, I think they're, you know, outside of those four teams, there's nobody really else, because, you know, the tag team division has been, you know, pilfered a lot in NXT. So they're going to have to start making some more of those tag teams again. And I'm guessing they might go back to a few that were from the Dusty Invitational, like Roddy and Austin Aries again. if he, I guess he comes back, I don't know. Mm-hmm. His eye should be injured. His eye injury should be healed by now, shouldn't it?
Think so, but is he going to be a cruiserweight Austin Aries? Like he's always doing the commentary for cruiserweight matches, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the idea I keep getting. If he's there, I could probably see them easily like going into some angle where like, you know, he comes out from behind the commentary table and maybe takes out your babyface champion. Can't do it now because, you know, Neville is the heel, so you can't have a heel jump a heel. So maybe whoever defeats Neville, maybe he'll come out and kind of take him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
If the cruiserweight division even survives that long.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. So next up on TakeOver, we had the surprise appearance of Seth Rollins calling out Triple H. So yeah, obviously this angle is a bit up in the air at the moment, but we will get to that. But I thought it was pretty effective. It was a nice surprise. It kind of made watching NXT feel a bit more important because we had something from the main roster happening on the show. And the appearance by Triple H was pretty good. But yeah, I thought it was pretty entertaining. It was a nice surprise. Mark.
Yeah, and I like to treat it as a surprise. Like, the announcers were acting like, oh, what is this? What's he doing here?
Obviously it's planned, it's scripted, but maybe did you kind of see it coming? Because don't the NXT announcers usually have their pay-per-view tables closer to the ring than that?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah. Isn't that where they've been in that spot for a while?
I think normally when they're doing it like at Full Sail, they're like off to the left. But if I remember, I think they do sometimes their pay-per-views by ringside. So the fact that they were kind of out kind of like gave it away because, like, obviously if they're sitting by ringside, they would see, you know, Rollins run in right away.
Mm.
But it was still a nice surprise. And, you know, Triple H coming out doesn't have to say anything and still gets heel heat. That's why the guy's a pro. And one thing that did kind of suck me out of it was, like, when they called out security and they tried kind of taking him down and one of the security guards threw a couple of shots, of punches at Rollins, and it's kind of like, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You're just a security guard. Just hold him down and get him out. Don't actually have a fight with him. You know?
Yeah.
He's an overzealous local performer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So next we had the NXT Women's Fatal 4-Way Championship match. Asuka defended against Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, and Sanity's Nikki Cross.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about a deflated division.
It definitely needs some rebuilding.
Take it. Yeah. There's no one to take that title right now from Asuka.
No. I think the biggest bet right now for her next feud is Ember Moon. Because I think she's probably the most credible one right now. But this match actually wasn't too bad. Nikki Cross took a nice freaking bump through the table from the Sydney Siders.
Yeah, that was a nice table suplex.
The ending kind of left me thinking that the next feud will be between Nikki Cross and Asuka.
That's what you'd think, but I'm definitely feeling the Ember Moon right now.
But here's the thing. It's the fact that, like, why would, like, Nikki just, like, look at her and just kind of smile as she walks away with the title? You know, logic would dictate that would probably mean that the feud is going to continue.
I don't think the feud is dead, but I think they will be adding her into it as well.
Okay, so who do you think Who do you think could take the who do you think out of this group is going to take the title from Asuka? Because, you know, he can't keep her down there forever. Mm. She's going to have to come up at some point because she's been down there for a long time already. You know, just like Joe, just like Nakamura, and even Kenta, like they've been there for a long time. And it's, you know, it's if you're not going to bring them up anytime soon, you might as well just let them go back and do whatever they were doing.
Do you mean out of these three or out of what they've got in the division right now?
I guess what they got out of the division right now. Look, because outside of Ember Moon, I would probably say Nikki Cross would be the closest one.
It would be Ember Moon and Nikki Cross.
I don't know. I got a feeling about Billie Kay for some reason. Like, she would be like a short-term champion, but like she could be.
I don't know. Okay.
You know what I mean? You have to win, like,
not Peyton Royce.
No. I don't know. She just seems way... She's scary thin to me.
Mm. Well, maybe they could... I guess, pillage some more indie workers and kind of bring them in. Maybe they can go back to the UK and find, like, the best women's wrestlers.
Well, weren't they planning on doing a women's tournament this year?
I think I heard that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
From where though? From like just inside North America? Just inside North America?
I don't know. It was saying that they are planning to do one.
Yeah, I've heard lots of like a South American tournament, an Asian tournament. Like, I don't know what's true, what's not, but.
Well, if they do. A women's tournament. Who could they bring in?
There's so many to pick from. You've got so many girls in the indie scene that they could pluck up.
Can they bring in anyone from TNA?
If they don't have a contract.
Would you go back and pick up? Because apparently they're calling in some of the divas, the old divas, for a possible spot at Mania. Would you include any of them in this tournament? Like maybe Victoria or
considering they kind of, you know, with the cruiserweights, they had like Kendrick and Tajiri and stuff like that. So I mean, why not?
Well, let me ask you this: if let's say if they want to keep Asuka there for a little while, what do you think of this idea? How about if she has a feud with Sara Del Rey?
We are all silent right now.
Apparently it's not a good idea, so let's move on.
It's more like, well, my thinking, if they do this tournament, like, could they potentially look at it as bringing in more for NXT? And saying, well, if you win, you get a title match against Asuka.
They could do that, yeah.
I think that's a possibility. I mean, it would add, I think, a bit more to the tournament, like having this is the big prize at the end. But, I mean, it's a possibility. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
That's true, but I still wouldn't mind if they brought in some of the older generation to take her on like they did with Mickie James. You know, you could bring in like a Victoria for like a one match, or you could bring in was it Sarita that they picked up from TNA?
I got no idea.
Yeah, because they picked up, I think it was Sarita that they got from TNA, and then she works there now as a trainer. So, you know, I guess you could kind of bring her in just to kind of, like, do a one-shot with Asuka for, like, a show, maybe just for, like, a regular TV match or something, to kind of give Asuka something to do for, like, the next couple of weeks until, you know, until Orlando.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. Like, that division and the tag division down in NXT really needs more rebuilding.
Well, I think NFC in general has been very, like once the draft happened, it picked up a lot of people up, and it's been a little rebuilding ever since.
I think the takeovers have been great. I think it's just the in-between that's not, hasn't been as exciting.
Although, I guess because also, you know, the biggest pickup from, you know, that the whole draft was NXT, the NXT writer that they brought over to SmackDown. And, you know, that's when you kind of started to see, you know, NXT TV not become as watched as it was before.
And then you've got SmackDown being clearly the better show every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not just because of AJ Styles. Or John Cena, because Batch isn't here.
And the biggest, one of the biggest differences between Raw and SmackDown is SmackDown actually has a women's division. They have three separate feuds going, whereas Raw, that's just such a clusterfuck right now.
Yeah, it's kind of Charlotte versus somebody.
And no sign of Emma coming back yet. Why?
Well, she's got a modeling gig now. Why would she want to come back?
Yeah, true. Let's move on to our NXT Championship match, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Bobby Roode. Now, did anybody predict that the title was going to change hands?
I did not. I did not even see this coming.
I didn't think so. I thought maybe a slim chance, but yeah, it was very surprising, and I cut you off, Mark. I apologize.
Fine. Yeah, I don't know. I had a feeling in the back of my mind that Bobby would win it.
So what do we think of the actual match itself?
I love this match.
I keep cutting you off. Mark, talk now.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I love this match. I love the story that was told about you know, how Shinsuke, as Jim Ross would call him, hurt his leg and wanted to keep fighting over the fighting champion, but it just was too hurt and Bobby Roode beat him.
I
love that kind of story.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well, and he sold it really well, but I just thought towards the end it just went on a bit longer, and I thought it probably didn't need to go on that long. But it is a glorious new era.
Well, Bobby Roode had the sweet entrance with the eight women.
Oh, and, so fitting, wasn't it?
It was so fitting, and I think, you know, Corey Graves had the line of the night with, I think, he kind of told off Percy Watson saying that he wished he could have, like, eight women or something along those lines, oh, by the way, we didn't even get a chance to talk about this team, but Percy Watson, really. I'm so sick of this three-man team, especially when you have someone like Percy Watson who literally adds nothing to the commentary team. He was literally just spewing out sound bites, and a lot of the time what he said didn't even make sense. You know.
And the thing is, Graves is no longer going to be calling for NXT.
Which is a shame, because I think they really need him there as well, but they are replacing him with Nigel McGuinness, so I think they'll still be all right. But, you know, I think if you want to kind of keep, like, NXT its own separate entity, I would probably recommend sticking with the two-man commentary booth, because we don't need to have three or, like, I think doesn't SmackDown
has
like
four
now?
Yeah,
SmackDown has four.
Five, if you count Vince backstage. But
yeah, these commentary teams.
But the match was pretty good. It wasn't the best match of the night. That was still the tag match, but I did enjoy the finish. I enjoyed that, you know, like, you know, basically Nakamura's end came in knocking out Bobby Roode, and the fact that, like, Bobby Roode sold it like a champ, being practically knocked out for like a couple of minutes, not even moving, while Nakamura was in pain and everybody was looking in on him. And then the best part was, you know, him wrenching in that the single leg crab and not only just cinching it in, punching the knee and beating it down. Just little touches like that, you know, just show. One thing I will say about Bobby Roode is he does need a different, you know, finishing maneuver because that floating DDT doesn't work.
I think he needs something more hard hitting.
What was he using in TNA? I don't even remember that.
I don't even remember. It's been so long. But I was going to say, the way both these guys sold everything, someone like Roman Reigns could learn a lot because that's part of the issue with that man is his inability to properly sell. And I think if he did, that would help people kind of back him a lot more. But everyone just wants him to be a heel, and that's not going to happen. But anyway, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
But it was a good back and forth match. I was a little concerned with that over the top bump that Nakamura took.
Yeah.
It seemed a little dangerous to take. Mm. You know, just kind of sitting on top of the rope and then just kind of flipping back.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to be taking a bump like that. What was their crowd like anyway? It was like, what, 10,000?
God, I freaking don't know.
I was confused because they really darkened that crowd, so I couldn't tell how people were actually there.
Well, they obviously weren't at the Alamo Dome, so they must have been in the smaller arena.
Mm.
But even the smaller arena was bigger than, you know, the crowd that they bring in at Full Sail. So I guess, yeah, maybe you kind of pull a bump out like that for 10,000 people when you're used to 2,000.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's a little too risky.
Yeah. So NXT, they've got like 2 months to build up for the next show. And I do believe we are having Chris Hero, now named Cassius Ohno, once again. He's been at the tapings, so he's going to be adding some more, I guess, drama storylines to NXT.
He needs to be at a gym, not at the tapings.
He can still move, so.
He could also break ropes, too, now.
Yes, I saw. Bloody hell. So that was NXT. I thought it was probably better than it should have been considering it had a lackluster build up, but
I think just by looking at the card going in, I didn't really have much hope for this card. I thought it would be decent at best, but it was a big surprise because, like, really, like, to me, the weakest match on the card was probably the first match. And that was still a pretty good match.
Mm.
So I would probably give this paper, this special, maybe 7 on 10.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, Cole.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I like the NXT events. They're not like overly huge and dramatic, but they're nice, good shows. They're always solid.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the Royal Rumble, and I do have a beef with the pre-show. Now, I set my alarm, not realizing I set it for PM and not AM, so I missed the SmackDown Women's Tag Team match, so I can't comment on that. But what really pissed me off was that you're defending titles once again on the fucking pre-show, when the title should never be defended on the pre-show, it should always be on the main show. And not only did we have titles defended on the pre-show, we had the titles change hands on the pre-show.
Yeah, that bugs me too, because the event's already 4 hours. I'm not going to watch another 2-hour pre-show. Like, I got things to do.
There was so room to have that match on the main show.
And on top of that, you have a 2-hour pre-show and, you know, you have 3 matches and, you know, one went barely 10 minutes, one went about 5, and the other one went about 10 as well. So it's like, really, you're just, you know, 25 minutes of matches in 2 hours. It didn't, especially at the time, I think with the tag team matches, the arena wasn't even half full yet. you still saw like a lot of empty seats in the background. And in the case, what we did see, you know, not much of a crowd reaction from the people who were actually there to watch those matches. Mm.
It needed to be on the main show, and it was a really decent match between those four guys. And the fact that we then had a title change, it's like, what the hell? Why is this relegated to a pre-show?
Well, do you think the problem is because the four matches that they did have on the pre-show, on the actual card, were all championship matches? So if you put the tag match in there, what would you do? Would you remove the cruiserweight match, or would you maybe?
No, I would still have it on there because Royal Rumble's already a long bloody show anyway. You could have cut out a few minutes from some of the other matches anyway.
Well, that's
and
the
didn't
thing
the pay-per-view end early?
I think it finished at around 10. I remember I think it was like 10:40 or something like that, so maybe around 10:45.
Maybe, yeah. So you maybe could have fit it in.
But yeah, like I said, that was a decent match. I didn't see the tag match. Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax was just a destruction of Sasha Banks.
Well, I did see the opening match, by the way. I did see Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, and Naomi. Basically, the ending is basically, once again, a setup to Alexa Bliss's next challenger for Naomi because she got the clean pin. Becky Lynch is obviously moving forward with her
Mickie James.
Her Mickie James feud, which is good, you know, because I would assume that Becky Lynch will eventually get the title back, so break her off into a feud somewhere else, and you're continuing the feud with Nikki Bella and Natalya. Naomi's great in the ring. I just can't stand that the gimmick. The whole neon stuff and the fast flash dancing just gives me such a headache when she comes out. Well, just seeing that, just seeing the neon light, it just gives me such a headache.
I can understand that. I'm a big fan of hers, and I'm so ready for her to actually, like, hold that title. She's a really hard worker. She's good at what she does. She's gotten so much better. I think it would be really great as, like, you know, a reward for everything she's done to have a run with the title.
Yeah, she's never had a title.
No, she hasn't.
No, they've kept it off for all this time. I would assume she'll get it eventually. I don't think she's going to get it soon because I would assume they probably want to give Bliss another maybe month. I think Bliss will probably lose the title by Mania back to Lynch.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to build up something big for WrestleMania. That's my inkling for that.
Do you think there'll be like a four-way or something like that?
I think the four-way is going to be in the women's division. And I think they might be building up for Nia Jax to break the Charlotte pay-per-view streak. But that's my thinking. That's my theory.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think it'll be Bayley?
Nope.
Ooh, why?
I'm surprised.
Has Vince gotten in your ear again or something?
No, I just think with the way that they're building Nia Jax, she's freaking destroyed Sasha Banks two nights in a row. Bayley, and I do actually agree with Luke Norris on this, Bayley has not quite been up there as she was in NXT. And it could just be, like you said, Charlotte is just that damn good. But I think they're going to have, like, the big monster of Nia Jax take out Charlotte's streak and have Nia Jax be the one that you've got to beat down. And I think by that time is when they'll be ready to have Bayley do it.
But the thing is that they're both heels right now.
Yeah, but that's why I think they'll do the fatal four-way.
But the thing, like, even if, okay, so if we have Jax win the title at Mania, who does she pin to win the title?
Well, that's what could make things interesting. She doesn't have to pin Charlotte, and this could sort of be the controversial thing. If Charlotte's not pinned, does that still end her streak?
Yeah, but that's the thing. So obviously she would be running around saying, well, I didn't lose the title, I wasn't defeated, blah, blah, blah. I guess it could work, but, like, you know, I would much rather, because if her pay-per-view streak ends, I would prefer it to end with her losing the title and to an actual babyface.
Mm.
So that's why I'm kind of thinking Mania would probably still be for Bayley. I don't like the fact that they want to turn it into a four-way.
It feels like that's where it's going to lead, because I feel like Fastlane is going to be a tag match.
Okay.
With Bayley and Sasha versus Charlotte and Nia.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to have a just straight up one-on-one match? Don't you think like maybe the women's division kind of deserves that now?
I do, but it just feels like that's where they're going to go with it.
If it was up to me, I would probably have Bayley versus Charlotte one-on-one, and I would do the four-way for the SmackDown brand instead.
Mm. We'll see what happens anyway, but
because the other thing too is obviously the SmackDown's women title has to be defended.
Mm.
And the fact that you're going to have both women's championships defended in four ways, it just seems kind of like lazy booking to me after. Mm.
I think they'll both be different, but if we go on to the first match of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, it was Charlotte versus Bayley, and it was an okay match. But again, I just didn't think Bayley looked as good as she could have looked. Charlotte just owns everything. And I really liked how they use a different finish where she did natural selection on the apron to Bayley to get the victory. Because I like how they change things up a little bit.
Is it me or does anybody else find that the ring apron spot is becoming a little overused now?
I've noticed a little bit, yeah. Mm. But at least with the women, we don't see it that much.
That's true. But the thing is, like, I don't know. I hate when they do spots on the ring apron because it's such a fine line for error right there, because, you know, it's a big difference. You could take a bump in a ring, but because it's 20 by 20, but a ring apron is so small, you know, there's a huge line for error for injury there.
Mm-hmm. Like every time Undertaker does that leg drop on the apron, I'm always worried he's going to take someone's head off.
Or most likely probably hurt himself now.
I was going to say hurt himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, we'll get to that when we see him.
But let me ask you this then. Because I kind of agree Bayley didn't look that good in this match, but I thought maybe that kind of played into the storyline for the feud, where it's like maybe Bayley just felt like a little overwhelmed. The champion Charlotte was too much for her, which is going to kind of lead into their rematch at Mania, which this time Bayley is going to be more prepared. Charlotte's going to be overconfident because she's already beat her once.
Oh, that's 50,000. Yeah, that's entirely possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I figured that's the story they're going for, like losing but coming back.
It just seems like the what they're doing with WrestleMania, just like the potential matches just don't make any fucking sense.
Well, maybe it's time for, you know, Vince to hand over the reins to someone else. But, you know, as we heard, like, these matches just keep getting rotated and rotated. Mm. So who knows? Maybe by next week they'll think of something else for the main event or something.
Yeah. So we'll move on to our next match, which was the WWE Universal Championship match with Chris Jericho suspended over the ring in a shark cage. Thank you, to NXT for that idea. So we had Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Thoughts?
Chris Jericho was the MVP of the night.
Yes.
Definitely.
First, the fact that his refusal to go into the cage first, and then they jump him, and then not only going into the cage, but wearing his U.S. title belt.
Yes.
First of all, he gets extra heel heat because he comes out wearing two scarves now.
Yes.
So, and then he was wearing his U.S. title the whole entire time while he's in there. And the fact that once he breaks out the brass knucks and he's kind of holding it out for everyone to see.
Yeah.
It's such the guy, he knows what he's doing, obviously. He's a veteran. He knows how to convey a story to everyone else. So he's the MVP in this match. But the match is actually pretty good. I don't like the fact that Roman Reigns kicks out of a Superman punch with brass knuckles at two.
Who kicks out of being hit in the head with brass knuckles? Let's look at the logistics of that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He's got a hard head. Oh, that is true. Or maybe he's got nothing in it.
Thanks, Bobby.
I like the fact that I like that Owens retained. It was a swerve, but it was a good swerve. I don't know where they plan on going with this next, but it was a good match. It was pretty physical. I don't like the chair spot because I hate when, you know, we get that spot in the match where, like, the wrestler sets something up.
He sets it up, and then he goes through it.
Yeah, and he goes through it, like, 20 minutes later, and it's kind of like, you don't lose sight of the fact that it's still out there, so it's like, okay, we know it's there, he's going to go through it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he kind of does after. It seemed like a scary bump, too, because, you know, it's like you're crashing on top of that one chair on top of everything, so I always felt like, maybe, like, the back of his head probably hit it first. I don't know.
Didn't look great, but I agree with you. It was actually, like, a pretty decent match. There's some good spots. The kicking out bullshit. And then, out of nowhere, Braun Strowman shows the fuck up.
Which made absolutely no sense.
Not only did it make no sense, but I thought the fact that the crowd were chanting thank you to him was hilarious.
It is Roman Reigns, so, you know, it could be worse. He could have been, when he was outside, passed out on the table, they could have been chanting Roman sleeping again and all that good stuff. But I'm guessing they're moving on to a Reigns-Braun Strowman match, which I thought was supposed to be the match for WrestleMania, but apparently it's not anymore.
Well, Vince changed his mind again.
Yeah. And this is the thing.
He changed his mind on that.
This is the thing, the company's obviously, like, Vince obviously loves Roman Reigns, who freaking sucks him off all the time. Anyway. But they're obviously are quite behind Braun Strowman looking at his booking, but I'm like, and this is what I wrote about for Daily DDT, a feud between the two is not going to benefit either of them, because it's a must-win situation
now. Braun Strowman is hot off his Tinder profile, so he's probably going to do so. I don't know what they're planning on doing. Here's the thing. Obviously, Reigns is going to win.
That's the thing, and I think that's just going to hurt Strowman a lot, because as we'll get to, we know who Roman Reigns is going to face at WrestleMania, and he's going to have to look like $1 million going into that match.
He could go in looking like $1 billion. It's not going to matter in the end.
Mm.
He's still going to get booed no matter what.
Oh, absolutely.
The thing is, they just have to accept that the Roman Reigns experiment is over. It failed. Like, he's not going to be the guy. You know?
But just Vince will keep trying until he finally is, so we all know how that's going to end.
Mm.
But I agree with Marcy. You know, Braun Strowman is slowly but surely starting to gain some traction, where people are kind of buying into him, especially now after the Rumble with his performance.
Mm.
And, you know, to follow that up with a loss to Roman Reigns, probably not the best move.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see this match at WrestleMania anyway, at least just yet. I wish they could kind of hold off onto it for a little while longer, but it looks like that's the way it's going to go. But what happens? Okay, let me ask you this, Marcy. What happens after?
For what part are we talking about?
For Braun Strowman.
I'm not sure. I was thinking, and we can get into this as well, with the events in the Royal Rumble, I was thinking, why not have your cross-brand promotional match, Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin?
Not a bad
idea.
Okay, I guess.
It's something.
It's something for them to do, I guess. But
it's a good way to kind of have that brand feud, having your two big monsters have to clash.
Yeah, but I don't know. Baron Corbin's just kind of flack for me. I don't really want to see him in anything.
Yeah, you're probably on the same page as Batch for that one.
I'm not going to clown on him, but I don't know. He just, I don't know, it doesn't excite me.
Yeah, he's Mr. Excitement right now.
Especially after, you know, Breaking Ground, where he got punked out by some nerd at a you know, at a bar watching a band play, and he had to leave after. I kind of lost a little bit of respect for him.
Mm. Anyway, so yeah, with the match, obviously Braun Strowman costs Roman Reigns the title. Kevin Owens retains. We move on to the Cruiserweight Championship match, Rich Swann versus Neville. I'll say this, I've actually, since Neville's return, and I really think it was the right decision to bring him back as a heel, put him in the Cruiserweights, try and fucking build this thing up, get people interested. Their feud has actually been really good. There's a really good storyline to it. The crowd is not quite there for it yet, but they had a really, really strong match, and the right person won. And the funny thing is, we've got Neville saying he's the king of the Cruiserweights. He's got this brand new gimmick, and it's probably the best king-type gimmick that's actually worked for quite some time. Say what you will. The floor is open.
I agree. I think I like the new look. I almost didn't even recognize him when he came back with the beard. I like the fact that now he's all in black. He's got a bit of an attitude. His moves seem a little bit more flashier now, too. All I wish they could finally get for him is maybe, like, a challenger whose charisma, or at least, yeah, I guess his charisma is just up there with his. You know, if they were to do something, we were talking about Austin Aries before, if they kind of, maybe, because since Austin is a commentator, if they do something with Neville, I guess maybe once he runs through everybody, maybe he's picking on Aries. You know, it could kind of set Aries up for a babyface turn. And
well, that would actually, I think that would actually work pretty well.
And you know Austin Aries has the charisma to carry this. Mm. So I think they would have some good matches.
That would actually be a really good feud. I think that would be something. Sorry to cut you off, but that would actually be the perfect way to get more investment in the Cruiserweight division right now.
Well, your current crop of guys aren't really doing it. You know, TJ Perkins isn't doing it. Neither is, what was Doofus's name?
Which one?
Spanky?
Brian Kendrick.
Oh, yeah, Brian Kendrick. He's not doing it either. And neither are the other guys. You know, Rich Swann is like, yeah, he looks good, but like,
I think the only other guy that has remotely any crowd support is Jack Gallagher.
He won me over. I think it was like the Rumble was the first thing I seen him because I didn't watch the UK tournament. And, you know, his spots in the Rumble were pretty entertaining. So I would like to see this guy.
He's had a decent feud. I think it was with the Daivari, and he introduced the Umbrella, and it's hilarious, but the guy's a fantastic worker. He's got so much charisma. Like, I think even a feud between Neville and himself would be really good because there's such a clash of personalities.
And it's a clash of styles, too, because Gallagher's style is a little bit more grounded, and he could kind of, you know, twisty turn you into a pretzel or something. So I would like to see that match. He was an entertaining guy. You know, not knowing who he was going in, he was one of the few things I remembered from the actual Rumble.
And Jericho, I mean, we'll get to the Rumble, but Jericho and him had the, like, best interaction. It was amazing. Let those two have a fucking match, like, seriously.
I didn't notice that during the Cruiserweight match, they kept focusing on Neville's face. Like, I feel like they spent half the match, like, on his face.
I'm guessing maybe they were hoping, I guess by focusing on his face, you'll see his mean mugging and, you know, and his heel mannerisms now, like, appearing there or something. I don't know.
Mm. But yeah, no, it was a pretty good match. They'll have a rematch probably at what's the next one? Fastlane. So I think that should be pretty solid. It's actually an interesting feud because it does tell a story. They've got the history. But yeah, we'll move on to the WWE World Championship match, AJ Styles versus John Cena. And by far, it was the match of the night. It's probably been one of the best matches we've had in the short year so far. What I liked is that, again, out of the other matches they've had, it felt so different. They really gel together in the ring. There's an amazing chemistry there. And I think the ending to this was very predictable, and I'm not sure where I'd put AJ Styles for WrestleMania right now, but, what did you guys think?
I wasn't too keen with the finish, especially the celebration, because it seemed like the celebration was a little tepid for a guy who just tied Ric Flair's world title record. You know, I was thinking maybe they would get Ric Flair there to go out and congratulate him, but like, just have like Little Natch there. Kind of whisper something in his ear.
I would have, like any other title win.
Yeah, I would have held off on this until Mania. And so that way, because we all know the original plan was for Cena and Taker. Now that's not happening. And now Cena's kind of not really left out in the cold. So I would have probably, and AJ and Shane is not something I really want
to
see.
I don't think anyone wants to see it, to be honest with you.
So I would have probably held off on this match and saved it for Mania and have Styles lose the title at Mania to Cena. So that way Cena gets his big moment, gets his 16th time tying whatever. But if we're not getting that, I actually would not mind if we got to see Cena and Styles again at Mania for one more time.
I could watch these two guys again and again because, like I said, it actually really works, like, really well. And it was kind of the same with when Kevin Owens was called up and we saw John Cena versus Kevin Owens, that they had great matches because they just gelled so well.
Well, as opposed to what someone else likes to say, John Cena does have good matches.
He does.
Doesn't matter what somebody...
Oh, he does.
You give him the right opponent and he really goes with it. And when he had the US Open Challenge, there was rarely a bad match in there.
And, well, that revitalized the title.
Yeah, it did.
But not only that, it serves a purpose, and we know John Cena has an effect on the product because every time he's on, you know, ratings go up, seats get sold, more seats get sold in arenas. So John Cena does, you know, he does have an effect. So I like Cena. I have no issue with him. I don't mind that he won this one, but I kind of wish they just held off on it. And this match itself was great. I love the fact that Cena was getting a little more vicious this time in the match. You know, because and no matter what Cena did, AJ Styles always was able to kind of find, like, you know, a reversal for it. And I like that Cena had to kind of, like, you know, he didn't just beat AJ Styles. He had to give him a super AA followed by another AA with a roll-through AA to finally beat him.
Yeah, that's what was effective because he's like, all right, I've got to do my finishing move more than once to keep this guy down.
I think the one thing about Cena is, though, he's starting to look his age. That's probably a bit of an issue. I thought it was going to be an issue earlier because the whole, you know, rapper gimmick, once he hit a certain age, would kind of look ridiculous. But he was kind of lucky where he kind of maintained his youthful look. But now when you kind of see him, you can kind of start to see, like, the wrinkles appear on his face and stuff like that. So he's starting to look 40. And I don't know if you noticed this. Maybe it was just me, but I noticed every time, like, during the match when they showed the back of his head, I could think I could see a bald spot starting to form back
there. I actually feel like I saw that too.
So I don't know what John Cena's going to do, but he's going to need to work on that.
Yeah, I do think he's going to wind down this year. And actually, I did like that he put in the figure four as a Ric Flair nod in the match. That was a nice touch.
And not only that, actually knew how to put it on.
He actually did that better than he does the STF.
He has a terrible STF.
Yeah, AJ Styles just owned that when he did it.
But the issue with the STF, though, is apparently he does it the way Vince wants him to do it. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
Looks like garbage, and Stone Cold will tell you that, too.
Yeah, Stone Cold was like, that's not how you fucking do a stunner about Kevin Owens doing it, which was nice. I would love to see, like, them do the live podcast with Kevin Owens and Stone Cold.
I would like to see that. Well, I don't know if we're ever going to see that again since, you know, Stone Cold kind of buried Dean Ambrose, made him look bad, but a lot of people have been doing that lately.
Yeah.
Hardly.
So, yeah, let's talk about the Royal Rumble match.
My most looked forward to match of the year.
Did it deliver? So it's,
I enjoyed it for the most part. I didn't like the last bit.
Yeah.
Like once Brock came in, that kind of energy just died. But I like the rest.
I would probably say it was the first half of it was fine. The last 5 minutes, maybe 10, kind of killed it.
It was actually entertaining and a bit surprising. Like when you get Braun Strowman come in and just dominate, but then you got Baron Corbin show up and he fucking eliminates him, and it's like, what the fuck just happened? Like I miss moments like that in the Rumble, and then it needs to feel like there's the unpredictability. And I love that Jericho was like in the actual match for like maybe 10 minutes while he was on the outside doing something or other.
I think they caught him one time just laying down there like he was
resting, faking an injury.
Resting, just kind of like he was posing or something. He was like he was laying down on a bearskin rug, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like at one point that I forgot that he was even in the match. I was like, did he already get eliminated? And that's when they kind of showed him outside laying down there. I was like, oh, I guess he's just, you know, hanging back. But
yeah, he had good strategy.
One thing I didn't like, a lot of jobbers in this match. And the worst part is, like, a lot of them, like, they stayed around for too long. It's not what I wanted to see. What I kind of had envisioned in my head was that, obviously, you're going to have a lot of them build up in the ring. And I thought maybe Lesnar, I thought maybe Goldberg was going to come in and toss a whole bunch of them out, followed by Lesnar, and the two of them would eliminate each other, setting it up for Mania. But basically, it's like they each just eliminated like two guys, Goldberg, I guess, eliminated three guys. You know, and to eliminate Lesnar, like, again, like that, and Lesnar just looks and leaves, it's like, I don't know.
The funny thing is that now Brock Lesnar is the underdog in this feud?
I guess.
I guess they had to do that because it's probably going to be one of the rare times you could actually have Brock Lesnar be the underdog in any feud.
And the rumors right now are that they're going to make Kevin Owens versus Goldberg at Fastlane. Goldberg gets the title. Then the title's on the line against Brock Lesnar, and then Brock Lesnar wins the title.
Which
just makes like a waste of the title.
None of it makes sense, but just watch on Raw.
Oh, no, but that's the thing. It's like, when Lesnar had the title last time, people were complaining that he wasn't on the road, so he didn't have the world title on the road. So now in February, you're going to take the title off of Owens to put it on Lesnar, who's not on Goldberg, who's not on the road, who's going to lose it directly to Lesnar, who's also not on the road. So you're basically going to have the world title off the road for about at least 2 months.
It makes no sense, but this has been talked about for quite a while with Goldberg versus Owens, and then they obviously, you have to have Owens versus Jericho at WrestleMania.
I would assume they're going to have that.
It would have been nice to have the title on the line and Jericho to get that last title run, but...
And when there were a Rumble, would have been nice. But...
It would have been great.
Hmm. Well, what do you do after then? If, well, because the plans could always change. So do you think they would actually change it to have, you know, Owens and Jericho for the title?
Look, that would be my dream scenario. But they're just, this WrestleMania is going to be one of the weirdest ones for a while.
It's going to be all right match-wise because they've got a lot of guys that can go. But the thing is, even though you have a lot of guys that can go, it's a lot of matches that you don't really want to see. It's like, I don't really want to see Roman and Undertaker.
Well,
especially after their stare down, because Taker looks like what Roman's going to look like in 20 years from now.
Well, the thing was, like, nobody wanted to see Roman Reigns in the Rumble. I mean, why wasn't AJ there? He also doesn't have a title now. And then you've got that. Roman Reigns ends up eliminating The Undertaker. The Undertaker just did not look good, and he was hurting afterwards. Like, this is going to be, like, this has to be his last match. He can't go anymore. But why the fuck have it be Roman Reigns? Vince has been having a fucking boner for this match for years.
Which is funny, because if he had a boner for this match for years, why didn't he book it earlier?
It would have been a better story to have it when The Shield was still around.
Yeah, like the year after they power bombed him through the table.
Mm.
What about the fact that Undertaker really looked his age when he took that spear from Goldberg?
He looked old and ragged.
Like, he took like the lightest spear ever, and it looked like Goldberg had to gently put him down on the mat.
Like, he looked, I don't know, like he was barely able to move, and he was like just waiting to get thrown out to go to the back.
Mm.
And it's sad, you know, to see. You waste the number 27 spot on Enzo. Why was Enzo even in this match to begin with?
Okay, let me cut a promo on Enzo. This guy, I can't stand him. I never liked him. And, like, that whole thing at the beginning with Big Cass, like, they were talking endlessly. And I was like, hey, shut up. Can you get
it was so irritating.
So, I hated it so much. It was so
angry. It's so irritating. Like, even I'm losing interest in Enzo right now. Big Cass does need to be on his own now.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it's Enzo's the one with the charisma and Cass is the one with the look. Because Cass still sounds like he's, you know, he still sounds like he's rehearsed this for like the last 3 hours in the past. He's got like the worst delivery. He's got the worst delivery of them all. I still can't even believe they gave these guys an actual commercial to do for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it's like, how big of a loser are these guys, man? Like, Enzo Amore, who's supposed to be a certified G and a bona fide stud, is talking about like he's gonna have sex with a bucket of chicken.
It was weird.
It was like the Dolph Ziggler and Miz chicken commercial they had.
Well, I hate when they do these things where they incorporate the product into when they incorporate these commercials into their product. It's just so stupid. It was like that time. Do you remember when it was like a couple of years ago when they were promoting Subway sandwiches in a segment?
Yep.
With Natalia and TJ.
It was bad.
It was. Who comes up with this stuff, and why does this person still even have a job?
Yeah.
My favorite was the Domino's pizza tracker, where Jerry Lawler ordered a pizza, and you were watching the tracker during Raw, and then at some point in a riot, and like people in the crowd were eating his pizza, and he was pissed off.
And why was Jerry Lawler even at the Rumble, by the way?
I don't know.
See, I thought they were going to do something with Ziggler, but nope.
Yeah, they did. Jerry Lawler buried him on commentary.
Yeah.
And, like, the greatest line of the night. He could be a bad guy, he could be a good guy, he's still a loser.
Yeah. So
That I like. That's the old Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
I've been watching some old Raws, and he was so funny back in the day, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, but he was able to actually do proper insults. You can't do that anymore. It's not PC anymore.
I wish he could go. I wish he could go back and do like those insults like he did with Jake the Snake in 96.
Oh, I remember.
when he, do you remember like when he poured the when he brought Jake that big bottle of champagne as a gift, and it was like probably like 5 feet tall, and then he poured like the bottle of I think it was like Southern Comfort down his throat. And apparently Jake fell off the wagon, and when in reality Jake actually did fall off the wagon.
Yeah, crazy times. So what are our thoughts on who the winner was in the end?
I was like, oh, Randy? Really?
At least it wasn't Roman Reigns?
At least it wasn't Roman Reigns, but I'm like, 2017 and Randy Orton wins the Royal Rumble. Like, am I missing something here?
Let me ask you this. Is this payback for SummerSlam?
It might be. But I don't know, Randy's always been one of their boys, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, but Randy took a concussion for them at SummerSlam. Do you think this was kind of like...
Look,
the payoff was like, okay,
it could be.
I don't know if you did this.
Mick Foley almost died in the Hell in a Cell. He never got a reward.
Yeah, but Mick Foley wasn't Randy Orton. That's why. And Mick Foley, you know, kind of did that on his own accord. You know, it was also 1998. It wasn't 2016 where we kind of know a lot more about concussions and what they can do. And to go out and actually ask Randy Orton to take that, you know, they could really leave themselves up for like open for like a lawsuit. So I think maybe. Oh, and here's another thing. Do you really want to see a Randy Orton title reign again?
No, it brings nothing new. It does nothing for anyone.
I think he doesn't. Yeah, I don't think he needs to be like the top guy anymore. His position lately, it's the whole Wyatt storyline has actually been really, really good. And I do hope they book for Elimination Chamber Orton versus Luke Harper. And we know Orton will have to win, but it's not like when you suffer a certain loss. I think that kind of a loss with a really good match and a really good showing is not going to do any harm to Luke Harper. But I'm pretty sure we're going to get Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton with how they've done this storyline. And I'm actually okay with that because I do want to see Bray Wyatt get the title because the title has to be there.
Yeah, but he's only going to have the title.
That's the thing. Orton does not have to win at WrestleMania.
Okay, see that I kind of like.
This is the thing.
But even then, it does kind of.
People win the Rumble. They don't necessarily win their title match. And that would be a hell of a fucking story if Bray Wyatt gets the title at Elimination Chamber. Then Randy Orton doesn't win. But they could add something, some other kind of element to it. I mean, I think it could be really interesting.
What if Randy Orton lays down for Bray Wyatt at Mania? And then that could kind of start to sow the seeds of dissension with, like, maybe eventually his babyface turn coming back down the road, maybe by, like, SummerSlam or something, if they could stretch it out that long where Orton finally beats him for the title. Because I don't like the fact that Bray Wyatt hasn't won a championship yet, so he's going to win the world title 2 weeks after John Cena gets his 16th title reign and then lose it like a month later. I don't know.
It's such weird booking. That's the weird thing. Like, it makes no sense.
Let me ask you this. Is it me? Do you wish also that, you know, that with joining like the Wyatt family, that maybe Orton would change his look for a while? I thought it was like maybe he could start wearing some like jeans to the ring, like maybe some tattered shorts or something, or maybe like the jumpsuit. I don't know. Maybe let his hair grow out a little bit more, so that way when he finally does turn on Wyatt, he could kind of go back to the old Orton look again with the tights and the shaved head.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but he's one,
because
so
the fact
that's yeah, it's yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Because the fact that he doesn't really alter his look
always
keeps it like fresh in your mind that he's going to turn at some point.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But
I would kind of like him.
The fact that we had the Luke Harper face turn at the Rumble, I thought was really good.
Yeah, but what's going to happen to Luke Harper? Because we've seen that once these guys kind of separate, like him and Rowan, once they kind of separate from the family, they kind of get lost in the shuffle.
They could have learned from that mistake, but when we got to SmackDown and he actually came to the aid of John Cena, I thought that was interesting. There's something going on there. They're doing something.
And I hope they do, because I like Harper. He's
great.
He's a good worker.
Yeah.
He's interesting. He's got a good look. But I don't know what he's like outside of the Wyatt family. And, you know, like, I don't know what he'd be like on his own.
Well, wasn't he by himself at the beginning of the brand extension?
He had a run with the IC title on his own.
Yeah, he had a short run with that.
Mm.
But he would still look the same as he does now.
Mm.
He was just like.
That's what I mean. Like maybe you change his look up. I don't know. We will see what happens.
Speaking of changing looks up, when is Sheamus gonna get rid of his look? By the way.
Never, because he loves it.
Yeah, because you know, if I was him, I'd kind of be like, it's embarrassing to walk around with like a mohawk like that. I would be like. Can I change my look finally, please? Can I?
That was the Royal Rumble. It was what it was. So what are we?
Before you go, what did you think of Kofi's spot where he nearly impaled himself?
We know what to expect when he's in there. We've been there, done that.
Yeah, but you find that this one was kind of like very underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found it underwhelming. Just that he almost killed himself doing it, but wasn't as great as his past spots.
Mm.
Who would you guys have liked to see in the Rumble this year? Because you know, like I said, we saw a lot of jobbers, a lot of scatta in here. Who would you like to
look,
see?
The only surprise really, and it wasn't even a surprise because everyone was expecting Ty Dillinger was going to be a number 10. But I don't know. I mean, everyone really wanted to see Samoa Joe debut. And my booking would have been John Cena, SmackDown title, Samoa Joe wins the Rumble in his fucking debut, takes on John Cena.
What about Finn Balor? Why is he still injured?
He's not cleared yet. He's looking... He will be cleared before WrestleMania, so he should be involved in some capacity.
Hmm. Not cleared yet. Not even cleared yet for the Rumble.
Mm.
Because I remember John Cena wasn't cleared the year he came back either.
Mm.
But he's Super Cena.
Mm.
He has healing powers.
He's got something.
I would like the legend to come up, like just one at least. Maybe Booker T, I don't know. Just something fun.
Booker T was looking too classy in his tuxedo to be joining the Rumble.
Yeah.
What
know.
About Sean?
Sean? I don't think that's happening.
Who else could they have brought in? Well,
Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler, I don't think they want him back in the ring again.
Yeah, I don't blame him for that.
Neither Ric Flair.
I don't think the time's passed for that now.
Well, what do you think? Like, if they brought like a... Oh no, Kevin Nash apparently is injured too now,
mm-hmm.
so he couldn't come in. What about if there was Hunter?
Right.
Nah.
Well, has Ray's been found? By the way, do we know where he is?
I don't know where he is.
Because I know he disappeared for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Actually, you know what would have been hilarious? And this is like if the whole TNA thing wasn't there. we suddenly had the appearance of broken Matt Hardy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Actually, you know what would have been great? If Kurt Angle had shown up. But I don't know how he's feeling or what. So.
I would have liked that, too. I would at least maybe see him in attendance or something. I would kind of like to see him back on TV before the Hall of Fame.
They really, they need to just have him show up and, like, have a segment with American Alpha. It fucking has to happen.
I've been saying this before. I wish they could bring him in just to manage them.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be so perfect.
They could kind of do, not like a Foxcatcher gimmick, but... You don't want it to be like that John DuPont guy, but you know, I would like to see them come out like in the matching tracksuits, and you know, Angle with the whistle this time, coaching them from like the sidelines. Maybe I don't know if we'll get it. Well, I don't know because I never really got to hear Alpha like cut any promos. Do they have any mic skills?
They're not bad.
Gable does.
Because Jason Jordan does kind of remind me a little bit of Kurt Angle as well. He's got some of his mannerisms down pat, you know, like the pulling down of the straps and stuff like that. Yeah, I would like to kind of see them together for a little bit.
I think we need something with them. And I think we can all agree it's great that he's the big induction for the Hall of Fame this year.
Well, actually, since you brought it up, do you think we get a segment with them at Mania, then?
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Maybe they have a match at Mania and they kind of, like, meet up as they're making their way to, like, the ring from backstage.
I mean, whoever they face at Mania, maybe they could each, like, have someone in their corner and they just happen to have Kurt Angle.
How about... What if they faced the Revival at Mania and the Revival had Arn Anderson in their corner?
Oh,
that'd be great.
Send that idea straight to creative right now.
Yeah.
And you could establish that, like, maybe they come up with Anderson right away. Like, Anderson kind of, you know, he establishes himself with them for, like, the first couple of weeks leading into Mania and then, you know... I guess you could have something where, like, they kind of beat them in, like, non-title matches. And I guess at Mania, they even the score by bringing out Kurt Angle to be in their corner. And then you have, like, Alpha retain at Mania.
That would be so cool. Yeah, that would be so cool. Should we move on to the fallout at Raw and SmackDown for the Royal Rumble? I don't know if you guys watched Raw or SmackDown.
I didn't get a chance to watch Raw yet.
Nor did I.
All right, so it was fairly average, let's be honest. The real highlights for Raw, it was the stuff with Stephanie and Seth Rollins. Their back and forth was really good. And then her revealing that, yeah, Triple H is coming here. And then Triple H shows up. His promo was just bar none perfection. And then he looks like he's getting ready to just beat down Seth Rollins. Rollins comes down and Samoa Joe just pops the fuck out. So this storyline, like, building up the last, like, few days had been really good. Like, Triple H is like, I'm the creator. Don't make me bring out the Destroyer. And obviously the Destroyer that I was talking about is Samoa Joe. So clearly they wanted to have Rollins versus Joe at Fastlane. Now... during the attack angle, Rollins' foot got caught, I think, on the ring apron or something, and that made his knee just twitch, and he re-injured it. It's just an accident. It's no one's fault. But he may not even be cleared to be back by WrestleMania, so that storyline is now out the window for now.
Do you think this is going to hurt Joe because the last time he was up on the main roster in a dark match didn't end too well for TJ Wilson?
Yeah, that's the thing is that this really was, you look back, it was nobody's fault. But then again, you can say the same thing about Rollins breaking John Cena's nose, retiring Sting. And he didn't really lose any traction, so...
That's true.
And look, I did have my article go up today about, you know, what they could do for this storyline. And my thinking, and we'll see what happens, I'm like, well, why not just then pit the Creator versus the Destroyer? Build that up for the next couple of months and then have that match at WrestleMania. And then you can have Triple H versus Seth Rollins finally at SummerSlam and have that be your big headline.
Well, here's the thing. If you had the match with like Rollins and Joe at Fastlane, who would go over? Because you don't want to beat Joe in his first pay-per-view in, and you don't want to beat Rollins going into WrestleMania, because he's I would assume Rollins would probably lose at Mania to Triple H, because Triple H has been losing a lot at Mania. And if you put Joe in at... It would also seem kind of quick, because if you bring in Joe as a heel right now, taking out Rollins and then going after Triple H, it would be... I don't know, it would be too fast for a babyface turn, almost like right off the bat.
Well, I don't think you necessarily need Joe to be the face.
So Joe would be the aggressor and go after Triple H.
I would say Triple H tells Joe off, like, oh, ultimately, I sound like Logan, ultimately I didn't want him up on the shelf. I actually wanted to beat the shit out of him at WrestleMania. You fucked it up. Joe just gives no fucking shits. And I don't know, do something. Like, it could be awesome. It could be the right way just to, you know, have your plan B. I mean, Triple H doesn't necessarily need to have a match at WrestleMania, but you obviously figure he's been working towards it now. You know, why not? Why not do that and just completely, I mean, do it the right way and have Joe like a massive monster, like build him up, have him be like that main event caliber guy.
Yeah, but let's say who would you put Joe in against at Mania then if it's not Triple H?
If Finn Balor's ready, why not just have that match again?
Okay.
I mean, unless you watch NXT, you would never have seen them have battled, so...
Well, what if...
You've got the Destroyer being so out of control, it's like, who can we get to stop this? And that's when you bring in the Demon King. Just saying. So
what if it's Triple H and the Destroyer that are too out of control and Stephanie has to turn to someone else to kind of
bring that him could also work.
She brings in Balor.
She could bring in Balor, have Balor with someone else.
Maybe not with her, because maybe Stephanie's death is still a little too heelish, but
well, maybe Mick Foley.
Foley might be back by that point.
I mean, they could have those two go at it, or they could have a tag match with Triple H and Joe versus Balor and whoever. It's possible.
Well, who would you put with Balor then? No, can't, because he's down. All right. I was going to say AJ Styles.
I was going to say AJ Styles as well.
I don't know. Throw in Sami Zayn. I don't know. You gonna do anything at WrestleMania?
Well, he'll be annoying people at WrestleMania. I don't know.
He did get a clean victory over Jericho on Raw.
Yeah, but from all the stories we're starting to hear about him backstage, I don't know.
It seems very bizarre that he's picked up like two big victories in the last few weeks.
And it also seems. Here's something I hate, though. So, like, it also seems very petty. Be like, oh, we're going to bury this guy on TV because he's annoying, because he's very particular with what he likes to do. And, you know, he wants to kind of plan out a match in advance. Very, you know, he's very meticulous. So it's like Randy Savage used to be like that. Would you be doing that to a Randy Savage nowadays?
No.
No, so why would you do it now? It makes no sense.
But the thing is, they're trying to make him look stupid in the backstage segments, but it's fucking working and it's getting him more over.
I understand that, but like, why would you even want to, you know, just because he does this thing in real life, why would you want to do that on camera to make him look foolish? You know,
it's not working.
It
though.
Seems very petty. It seems very.
It does. It's, but the thing is, it's not working.
They do that all the time.
Yeah, but like they didn't always used to do that. You know, like back in the '80s, Randy Savage was very notorious for being like this. They would never do that to him on camera in the '80s, because they knew they had to draw money with this guy. And the same thing should go for Sami Zayn. It's like, we're going to have to eventually maybe take a chance on this guy and hopefully maybe try to draw some money with him. So let's not try to make him look stupid, because eventually fans are going to remember it and it might be too hard for him to come back after.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it is backfiring because it's actually entertaining. People are enjoying it, strangely enough.
Maybe they should try to do that with Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns just needs a full fucking heel turn, because that's the only way to salvage it.
But yeah. Will it? Like, I don't know if a heel turn will do anything. I don't know.
I don't know. Right now, it just feels like they're trolling everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess...
Well, what happens to him for Mania? Because he's obviously not going to get cheered.
No.
That's what I mean. Like, it's the perfect time.
But why is Vince so insistent on keeping this guy a babyface?
Because Vince is an idiot.
What is it that Vince sees that nobody else does?
I don't know.
I don't know, but he's the only one who sees it, it seems. I mean, it's been, 3 years they're trying to make him the top guy, and it's not working?
Mm.
And to give him, like, I don't know. It's like, because it looked like Mania was going to be his coronation again. I don't like the fact that this guy's going to be, like, if they did that, he would have been like a 4-time champion already. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and this is what I hate. This when they do this at Mania and stuff like that, you know, they did this with Bryan, where they gave him a quick title run. Like, remember, like, when Bryan beat Cena and then lost within seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then
he won it for a day
later. And won it for a day. And then, like, they gave him his big moment at Mania. But the big moment at Mania only counts if it's the first ever title victory. When you're going in there and it's your third and you're treating it like it's your first and it's a big moment, it loses its luster. And it's the same thing with Roman Reigns, like, last year. It's like, this is supposed to be his big moment, but the motherfucker had the title twice already.
Yeah.
So it's not that special anymore.
Yeah, like, that's what I miss about the oldest.
They have a very hard time booking these babyface champions, like, right off the bat. For some reason, they feel that, like, once the babyface has the title, he's got to, like, for the first time especially, he's got to, like, lose it right away.
Mm.
Well, that's the problem with the money in the bank, is that they use it too often to do that. To just kill that first title run. And I always feel like the first title run should be a big deal. You know, you got to win it. Like, a big name should win it at a big event, and keep it for a while.
Mm.
And it's like these garbage 5-minute reigns. Like, I can't stand those.
Mm.
Yeah, they didn't do that with Sean.
Oh, no.
But Sean was a man. Sean told Brett to get the fuck out of the ring.
But they gotta do those again. Like, Stone Cold did the same thing. He won the Royal Rumble and won his first title at WrestleMania, you know? When's the last time you saw that? It's been a while.
It has, because, like, even these guys who win the Rumble to go to Mania to win, like, to quote-unquote main event it, by the time they get there, I think, like, what, Sheamus was, like, one of the last people to do it, and by that point, Sheamus, I think it was, like, his fourth world title victory or something?
I think the last time it was a first-time champion ever, that won at WrestleMania was Seth Rollins cashing in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I guess before that,
a Rumble winner was his first time. Let's see. What could have been?
John Cena? Batista?
Yeah. Well, I don't count the World Heavyweight title. That's not the real world title.
So then John Cena, then, when he beat JBL.
Yeah, but he didn't even win the Royal Rumble. It was Batista.
Oh, that won. That's true. Batista won the Royal Rumble that year. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I can't remember.
Yep, I don't know.
Maybe it was Austin.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess, yeah, that the Seth Rollins re-injury is probably the now big news of the week. We had SmackDown. They've set up for Elimination Chamber, which is like, I don't know, a week and a half away already. So we've got big tag team turmoil match, the Chamber match for the title, Naomi versus Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Bella versus Natalia. And the participants in the Chamber match, obviously John Cena defending, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, The Miz. Who else was there?
Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose and...
Who doesn't even deserve to be there.
Who was the other one?
Bray?
Oh, Bray Wyatt, the person who's probably going to win.
And Miz, right?
Yeah, I said The Miz.
Okay.
So I think you do this, Bray wins, you have shit with John Cena and The Miz, because I was like, they're going to put him against The Miz, I'm sure. There's no Dolph Ziggler, so it looks like they're doing a program with him and Apollo Crews, and Lord knows Apollo Crews needs something good right now, because he's been a failure.
He's going to smile.
Yeah.
It wasn't weird. Yeah. Was he also smiling as he was running to the ring for Mania?
He was smiling.
Did you see they had to, like, shuffle people down that massively long aisle at the Rumble?
I don't blame them because they had a golf cart, but I don't remember, like, I think they showed, like, Kalisto running down. By the time he got down to the ring, he was already, like, huffing and puffing.
It's like,
well, by the time they ran to the ring, the next guy came out.
Yeah, it's like, why all the space for?
They fucked up their WrestleMania rules and regulations there because they established in other years, if you don't enter the ring by the time your next opponent shows up, or by the time the clock goes down to zero, you're no longer eligible to go into the ring, which is what James Ellsworth did.
Instead of having Undertaker take 10 minutes to enter, they just had the lights go out and he was in the ring.
Yeah, he teleported.
He was probably hiding under the ring the whole night because they probably didn't want to wait for him to...
He was probably having a sleep or something, I don't know.
He had his crutches under there too.
I don't know, WrestleMania right now just looks like it's going to be a bit of a clusterfuck. Yeah,
I have no excitement for Mania right now.
Right now, I don't really, because like I said, I don't want to see Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker.
Well, I really don't want to see Brock versus Goldberg.
Goldberg, exactly. Well,
I saw it. I was there live, and it was 90 seconds. That was all I needed to see.
I kind of do, because I thought they were going to go with it in another... I originally thought that they were going to have a Hell in the Cell at Mania. Because we all know if this match goes like a little bit long, you know, Brock Lesnar is going to bleed for sure.
Think we're guaranteed that's the final match at Mania.
Yeah, and I would have preferred it to be Hell in the Cell, and that way Brock beat him, and I was hoping for a little blood in the match, and I know we're going to get it because that's what Brock does, and apparently that's what Goldberg does too. Well, he does it before the match now.
Yeah,
well, he does it in the locker room. And, you know, I could still kind of see that if they go, like, real physical. Because all we really seen is, like, 90-second spurts so far.
Mm.
But, like, you know, if they're going with Cena and, you know, mixed gender match with, like, Cena and Miz, I don't really want to see that. I don't want to see a women's four-way. I'd rather just see a women's one-on-one. Roman Taker came out with a gut, by the way. On top of that, I mean, this guy's like in no shape to do anything now. So I don't even know why you want to roll him out for that. There's nothing there. It's like even their original matches, like with Roman and Strowman and all this shit, I had no interest in seeing anyway. So what are you going to do? There's nothing. Unless there literally is nothing for them to do now. They've burned out so many matches in the past year that there's literally nothing for them to do.
So let me pose you this. In your ultimate, I guess, fantasy booking for this year's WrestleMania, what matches would you want to have?
Well, you have Jericho versus Owens, the Universal title.
Yeah.
That could stay.
Yeah. What else do
I have? I would have done Cena versus AJ for the world title.
That would have been the better payoff than having it at the Rumble.
And I would have done, you know, I probably would have done Roman versus Rollins instead. I don't like the fact that they're kind of teasing them getting back together again, because it is kind of bringing down Rollins. Because he was starting to get some negative reactions as well. So I think, like, Roman's stink is starting to rub off on him.
Yeah, look, if Rollins, you know, I guess his status will be up in the air, but if he's out 2 months, like, I don't know if he's going to be ready, but I would have rolled with the Triple H match and then have Rollins slay the king.
Actually, if that was the case, I probably would have had, if you don't want to use the Universal title on Jericho and Owens, I would have had Roman get his rematch at Fastlane and beat Owens. And then you could have Reigns versus Finn Balor at Mania, with Finn coming back trying to reclaim the belt that he never lost.
That could have worked, actually, because they did have a pretty good match.
Yeah. And then you could have the whole demon gimmick, and people will go nuts for it because obviously he's using the demon gimmick and he's using it against Roman Reigns, would make people even more, you know, nutty.
Are we still getting Big Show versus Shaq?
Probably, because it's terrible. But how much... Big Show has lost, like, the weight of an entire other person. He can actually move a bit better now.
This is supposed to be his last match, right?
Really?
Well, that's what I keep hearing, that apparently this Mania is his last one, because...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Kind of why he wants to go out with the Shaq, match.
Are they actually good friends in real life, or...?
I would assume. Didn't they... I remember Shaq did some stuff in WCW while he was there. So maybe they kind of formed something there. I don't know.
I'm not sure, because it's like...
Obviously, you've been teasing this match for, like, a long time, for, like, years now. I think it's probably about time to pay it off before he goes, before he finally retires.
Yeah, I mean, I think his time's come. Like, a lot of these guys from then, like, it's time to hang up the boots.
Yeah, like, I was surprised Kane wasn't in the Royal Rumble. He must be on his way out, too, then.
Where is Kane, anyway? Isn't Kane, like, almost 50 years old?
Isn't he getting probably into politics or some shit? I can't remember.
I think so. I think he was running. He was running for like mayor of a city or something. Yeah. So Glenn Jacobs is 49 years old. He's gonna be 50 in April. And let me see where he's running for.
Look, I liked his on air role as Corporate Kane. It was entertaining. Like, I don't mind him, like, you know, coming in and doing more stuff like that, so he's not in the ring.
What if he came back as Isaac Yankem?
Well, I was going to say, maybe you could just bring back Corporate Kane to fill in for Mick Foley while Mick Foley has his hip surgery.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's not bad. I guess you could give the mask back to Stephanie again.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if it's fine here. He's seriously considering running for the Knox County mayoral seat in 2018, but would make a final decision after the 2016 presidential election. So he's still up in the air about this, I guess. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mayor Kane.
Well, I know he was on the Alex Jones show a few months about last year, I think.
Really? Oh, I got to listen to that one.
No, very fun. They also had X-Pac on the Alex Jones show once.
Oh, really?
Very entertaining. Hmm. Yeah. They weren't calling him kid, but...
well, they would have called him kid like this.
I mean, this is completely off topic, but can we start a petition to get Alex Jones on your podcast, Denny?
I wish that were the case. I'm like a nobody compared to Alex Jones. But Alex Jones just did the Joe Rogan podcast, so I don't know. We'll see.
We'll just start a petition and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We're going to start a petition to get Super Marcy back on my show, too.
Well, we know what's happening.
And Mark, thank you.
I'm always down, son.
All right. Now, I think that's probably pretty much a wrap. This is the first Super Squared Circle podcast for 2017. Should we lay down a few best ofs from last year? Like, who would you say was the superstar of the year? My pick would be AJ Styles.
I would second that. AJ Styles, when he came in, I did not think he was going to hit these heights because one thing that always bothered me when he came in at the Rumble last year and they put him face-to-face against Roman was the noticeable size difference between the two. And it's like, this is probably going to hurt him because we kind of know how Vince feels about those smaller guys.
Yeah, when they had their two matches, they were fantastic.
They were. And, you know, his mic skills have improved since TNA. He works smarter. He's not doing some of these crazy things that you would see him do in TNA, even though he still has, he hasn't altered his style too much, but it almost seems like it's more safer.
WWE now. He's adapted well.
Yes. And unlike some of those other guys, he did it quickly. And I think he deserves it. You know, the guy's been... I still remember seeing him in WCW with, the very end with Air Paris. And I thought the guy was talented then. I'm glad to see he's still at it now, and hopefully he's going to continue. But, yeah. You know, hopefully he has better things for Mania instead of...
Yeah, Mania. It'd be great. What about your superstar of the year, Mark?
I got to go with AJ also. I was lucky enough to be at the Royal Rumble to see him live as when he started. And, I don't really watch TNA or anything else. So that was my first, experience with him. He really impressed me. And, you know, a guy like that, you always worry he's just going to get stuck in mid-card hell and not do anything. But I was glad to see him become a world champion and throw amazing matches constantly. He even brought Roman to have great matches.
Mm. Yeah. And he had that big clean win over John Cena, which was very surprising. Who would we say for the woman of the year? I think, overall, it just has to be Charlotte. She's owned it. She's been the most improved over the last few years. And her heel role, she gets better and better. Like, I'm obsessed with Charlotte. I love Charlotte.
I will go with Charlotte and a close second for Alexa Bliss's ass.
Mark?
Charlotte's pretty much untouchable. I wish they weren't kind of trading the belt between her and Sasha so much.
It was too much.
But that's kind of Vince's fault. I still don't understand why Vince kind of lost faith in Sasha Banks either. You know, because she couldn't break a table in the Hell in the Cell. She's only 100 pounds. What did you expect her to do? You know, I
saw that hairline. That's why
he saw that hairline too. Yes, the one I so magically predicted would show up. I still think, I guess Bailey came in a little too late. I would even probably say even Becky had a good year. I don't think she did. The problem is she probably just didn't have a very long reign with the title. I think it was like, what, a month?
Yeah, it wasn't too long.
Before she lost it? Well, it was a good 3 months.
I think it was a couple of months, yeah.
Was it? Because I think she won it at, when they had it.
What, Backlash?
And then she lost it the next pay-per-view for Backlash, for SmackDown. I guess, yeah, it would have been like, no, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Either way, she doesn't have the title now. She had some good matches, but, you know, Charlotte pretty much is like...
I think Charlotte owned it pretty much. So, if we're going with Tag Team of the Year, I am going to go ahead and go into NXT and say it was DIY and The Revival, without a doubt.
I am going to go to NXT and just give it to The Revival, because they just killed it with every match they had. They killed it with American Alpha twice. They killed it with DIY. Literally, these guys should be on the roster now. And it's because of little things they do that we don't normally get to see in tag team wrestling anymore, which is double team spots. Well, actually, you could say that because with all of NXT, because what always bothered me in the WWE style with all these guys that they kind of throw together is a lot of them, like these tag teams, only have their single wrestler moves to win a match. And I always remember like the tag teams from when I was a kid, they always had to have the double team move in order to win. And you start seeing this again in NXT. And I love it when with Revival, these guys have a great look. Their throwbacks, their matches are amazing. Their mic skills are amazing. Because we could see, okay, yeah, DIY is pretty good, but I'm not too keen. There's something very indie about DIY, especially Ciampa. He just looks like one of these guys that he looks like about 50 other guys you would probably see on the indies. And it kind of hurts them. And that's why, to me, The Revival look like stars. And that's what matters to me in the end.
I'm going to go with The Revival also. I mean, they just throw on great matches. They do all the old school, like, heel tactics, you know, like distracting the ref, the tags, the beatdowns. They even come to the ring with those old school Ribera Steakhouse looking jackets. Like, I love everything they do, and they don't have to do crazy flips and shit. Like, they just have solid wrestling, and they make everything entertaining and super fun.
And they're so great.
Just fit.
They're so great to watch in person as well. So entertaining.
I saw that 2-3 match. So,
you know what the sad thing is that if they're like, prior to the brand extension and their call-up, we probably would have given this to American Alpha. And it seems like now that ever since they got to the SmackDown roster, they kind of cooled down.
They're
mad.
It's only picking up now-ish, I guess.
Yeah. They kind of got like lost in the shuffle for a bit. Whereas like in NXT, they were constantly a focal point. Whereas, like, the whole year in NXT, The Revival were the full people.
Yeah.
So people will remember them more.
So I guess we'll throw out maybe the last one, unless you can think of something else. Maybe Match of the Year.
Maybe off the top of my head, I'm thinking Cena versus AJ at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I think from the main roster, it would be that. From NXT, it would be Revival versus DIY.
The 2-3?
Yeah.
I would still go with Revival and DIY 2-3.
That's a match I gotta rewatch.
It just told the perfect story, and everyone in that match just did phenomenal.
I would even go with revival in American Alpha from TakeOver. Was it TakeOver Dallas?
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was amazing as well.
What about the commentator of the year?
Corey Graves.
You know, I would go with Corey Graves too, and Morrow.
I'll go with Morrow. I love the sports caster sound he has.
I love Morrow as well, but I think Corey Graves has just shot out since coming to Raw. Like, he's been fantastic.
He literally like elevates everyone there, except for whatever the other dude's name is. What's his name? I think we were just talking
Todd
about him
Phillips?
Before. Not Todd Phillips.
Byron Saxon.
Byron Saxon, there you go. Well, I still don't understand also why he has a job, but who knows?
I don't know. Do we have like a most shocking moment from last year? I would say like literally the most shocking moment was AJ Styles' clean win over John Cena at SummerSlam.
That's what I was thinking also.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go with something from NXT.
Go for it.
And that is Joe beating Nakamura for the world title.
Yeah, that was actually a big surprise, sure that, too.
Like, I was pretty sure Joe was going to, like, lose and then just move up.
I think we all were thinking that.
Joe beat him in a really great match with the neck injury and stuff like that. You know, you got to stay down there for a little while longer. And I remember at the end of that match, I was kind of like, whoa, Nakamura lost. Because, like, at that point, he had been undefeated. And it's like, okay, he'll stay undefeated until he loses the title. And, you know, he just lost the title about, you know, a few months later.
Yeah.
How about a comeback wrestler? I was going to say The Miz for that.
Oh, yes.
He just revitalized himself. Like, I didn't care at all about him, and now he's somewhat interesting, you know?
He actually just became, like, the best he's ever been. And that was just right after WrestleMania. He gets his wife with him, and no one's complaining about looking at Maryse. But he's been nailing it. Even if he's just got not all that much to do, he's just fucking killing it. He's doing great. Like, I think that's a big fucking surprise as well.
I would go with big surprises, maybe the Jericho Owen storyline. And not only how entertaining it's been, but like how they've been able to keep it going all this time. Because normally under other circumstances, they would probably burn through this storyline in like a month or two. And they've maintained it for a long time that we're actually going to, you know, in other times we would have probably seen this match like four times already before it got to Mania. And Mania would be the blow off. Whereas actually they've now actually paced it well enough that we're actually going to see the first match at Mania.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we actually get to see it anyway, but I would probably say that's been a big surprise for me.
Yeah, they really did that story well. And what's great is that Jericho is always able to bring in new things to not get stale. You know, he brought in the It, he brought in the List, he brought in the Scarves.
He brought in the mocking of the interviewers. First they did it with Todd Phillips, and now they're doing it with Charlie Caruso. They did it with Renee Young.
He's been on a roll. He's definitely been one of the highlights as well.
Well, let me ask you this. Who's the low light of 2016?
Apollo Crews.
Enzo Amore. Get that guy off my TV.
I got a two-way tie, and it's going to be James Ellsworth and Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is horrible. I hate his gimmick. I hate the fact that this guy went on Austin's podcast talking about how he could cut a promo And when Austin gave him a shot, all he could do was humming a. You know, he had nothing to say. His own woman punked him out on talking smack. What else has he done? What else has he not done?
He had a lackluster title run.
He lost almost every feud leading up to winning the world title, wins the world title, doesn't really get over. You know, he just, there's something about him, man. I just want him to go away. There's something about him when I'm watching him. It's like this guy, it's a performance. This guy's, he doesn't believe what he's doing. He's just acting like he's acting in a role. And I can't stand it. I don't want to see this guy on my TV anymore. Not only that, I had a friend come over. What was the pay-per-view with the three-way between the Shield?
Battleground.
He had come over. He doesn't watch wrestling. And he sits down. He's like, why are we watching this? I'm like, oh, because I wanted to watch it. I didn't expect you to come over. So we're watching this, and he sees Dean Ambrose, and he's like, who is this guy? I was like, he's the champion. And he starts laughing. He's like, that's the champion? I thought he was supposed to be bigger. And it's like, no. He was complaining that he looks like an average dude, looks like he's 60 pounds, soaking wet. He's probably got, like, receding hair. Why would they make this guy champion? I don't know.
I think they just wanted to do the gimmick of everyone in the Shield was champion on one night.
Kind of thing. Yeah, but you know what? They probably should have done something where, like, they should have probably put the title on him when he was hotter, and they shouldn't have waited this long, because by the time they got the title on him, he had, like, really cooled off.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't recover.
Mm.
It's gotten worse, if anything. Because that Brock match was bad.
And the fact that he called out Brock, you know, this made me laugh. The fact that he called out Brock on Austin's podcast, saying, "Well, Brock didn't want to do shit. You know, Brock didn't want to do anything." Well, he doesn't have to do anything. He's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is a draw by himself. Brock Lesnar doesn't need to go 50-50 with Dean Ambrose. Brock Lesnar could just squash him. And the fact that as soon as Brock Lesnar got into the Rumble, the first thing he did was he made a beeline to Dean Ambrose. And threw him right out of the ring. Made me laugh. And rightfully so. Throw him out like the garbage that he is.
Burn.
The way Batch is with John Cena is the way I am with Dean Ambrose and James Owl.
Lots of Batch bombs on this podcast.
But at least John Cena looks like a star.
That's true.
I wish you could have filmed Batch when John Cena won, just to see what his reaction
was. Oh, if you were on Twitter that night, you saw his reaction.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That John Cena should die in a fire.
It was angry.
John Cena just can't win with Batch.
Nope.
John Cena could cure cancer tomorrow and he still wouldn't win with Batch.
He'd be like, oh, it's a work.
Oh, boy. Look, I think that's going to wrap up our show for today. Aiming to be back after Fastlane as we build towards WrestleMania. So, yeah, hopefully schedules come together. And, thank you guys for joining me on our very first wrestling show for this year. And folks, you can find us at supermarcy.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/thesupernetwork. You can follow the Twitter account for me at supermarcy Twitter, or you can follow the Super Network at SM_Super Network. And if you want to send me emails, the email address is thesupernetworksm@gmail.com. Denny, where can people find you?
Head on over to facebook.com and search for the After Midnight Podcast. We're on Twitter at AfterMidnight66. Or if you want, you could send us an email at AfterMidnightPod@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Beyond Pod. We are a podcast about the supernatural, the paranormal, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and unsolved mysteries. Go back and listen to past episodes. I know Marcy's been on two episodes, and she came over to my house personally for Christmas.
That's true.
We celebrated here. Mark has been on an episode as well. And this week's past episode just went up about a few hours ago, is with writer-contributor over at supermarcy.com, the lovely and talented Beatrix Harper. She allowed me to call her B, and we went over the Great Diamond Conspiracy. So if any of you gentlemen who have bought your young ladies a diamond, make sure they don't hear this, because then they're probably going to be very disappointed that you spent a lot of money on it.
Look forward to hearing that. And it is kind of hilarious that the two female guests you've had on your podcast are myself and B, and we are both Australian. We both are on the same website. We are practically best buddies. So I think that's awesome.
It is awesome. And not only that, we also had an episode with another supermarcy.com contributor, B. Germain. Who was also at the Christmas party too. He brought me a lovely Titanic inside a glass bottle, and go back and listen to those episodes.
Great episodes. And Mark, what about yourself online, buddy?
You can basically find me on Facebook in my name, Mark Chevalier. You can find me on the Instagram, Disco162. And that's about it. My blog is basically dead, so you can find it in those two other places.
Maybe we'll have to get you at the Super Network.
Maybe. Should I? Do I have to apply for a job? Do I have to, like, wear my suit? And
yes, you do. We have to do a proper job interview. All right.
I'll get my CV ready.
All right, awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And, until next time. I have been good old Super Marcy. Denny has been the living legend, and Mark has been marvelous. So catch you later, everyone.